forever and a day. Amen. I am free. I am free. Man, if you've been saved, you ought to be able to say, I am free. I am free. Just like Amanda run down through there. Son, that's exactly what I feel like doing, Amanda, running down through there. Amen. Boy, I'm glad that the carpenters are here. I'm thankful that you are here. But I'm thankful most of all that the Holy Ghost is here. Amen. I thank God that He's pumping in my veins, pumping in my ask you to turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 14 tonight. And I just want to share with you what's on my heart and what God's been just, I mean, He's been just dealing with me on this, and I want to share it with you tonight in a mighty, mighty way, and what God is going to do in this place through the next 2 weeks and what He's going to do in our lives. And I want to just say this tonight. I want to tell you and I want to show you tonight why I bow my knees to an almighty God. I want to show you tonight why I bow my knees to Jesus Christ. I want to show you tonight why I get on my knees before an almighty God and I bow my knees to Him and I say, God, I can't, but You can. God, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need, and He reaches down. The reason I bow my knees and pray, if you have a copy of God's Word and you found your place, say amen. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 14, the Bible says, for this cause, here it is, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know that the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able, woo, glory. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we love You and we thank You, Father. Father, we thank You for this night. Father, we thank You that You've allowed us to come to Your house once again, Father. Lord, I thank You for this night. I thank You for what You're going to do. I thank You for what You've already done. Lord, I thank You for the altar call that we've already had. I thank You for the ones that came. I thank You for the ones that are here tonight. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that You illuminate our mind and open our eyes and let us see exactly what we need tonight. Father, I ask You tonight to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let me say nothing more than I need to say. And Father, if I say something that I don't need to, I pray that You would remove it before it ever comes out. Father, I do love You and I thank You. I thank You for Jesus Christ. I thank You for the blood of Calvary. Lord, I thank You for the word that we heard this morning. I thank You that You are alive and well. I thank You that You can call anybody out of the grave. Lord God, You can call anybody out. You can loosen anybody, Father. And Lord, I praise You for that tonight. Lord, I pray for the next few moments You have Your will and way. We thank You for the carpenters being here. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, the reason that we bow our knee and pray tonight, as I've been studying this and thinking about it all my life and what God's been doing in my heart, man, I'm telling you what, if there's ever been a time where men and women of God, hey, need to get into an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey God, it's right where we live today. Father, I want you to know, if you're doing anything for Christ, if you're working for Him, if you're following Him, you need to be on your knees in prayer. The old devil, he's our enemy. He's our adversary. He's like a roaring lion seeking who be made devour. He's out there ready to get a hold of somebody. And you say, preacher, he won't get a hold of me. I say to you tonight, he's the one, you're the one he's done got a hold of. You say, preacher, do you believe that tonight? I believe that with all of my heart tonight, that the old devil, he's looking to see who may he may get a hold of. But Paul come here and he talked to the church at Ephesus, and we see in verse number 14, he says, but for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come tonight, Paul told that church that, and I want to look at the reason that he bowed his knees and that he prayed. I want to ask you a question tonight. When you bow your knees and you ask God to move, well, what is your prayer about? Is it all about me and what I can get, or how He can bless me, or what He can do for me? Or are you on your knees before Almighty God saying, God, I need some healing in my life. I need You to heal some people. I need You to save some lost family members. I need You to move in a mighty way. Hey, can I say to you, we still serve a healing God. He can heal heal anybody, any place, anywhere, anytime. Hey, can I say to you, He's a saving God. He can save anybody, any place, anywhere, and anytime. And I want you to know tonight, that gets on my heart and it gets down into my soul and my spirit. The reason we bow and pray, let me show you in verse number 16, one reason why we bow and pray. Number one, I want you to look at this. He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I pray and you pray that we may be strengthened, that we may gather strength from the Holy Ghost tonight, that we may gather that strength of God in our life. You say, preacher, I'm strong on my own. Oh no, my friend, you are not. I can't do nothing without Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hey, He's the one that strengthened us, and we pray for that strength. I want to say to you this afternoon that the inner man, he must be strengthened by the Holy Ghost. You can't do push-ups. You can't do pull-ups. You can't lift weights. You can't do none of that to strengthen the inner man. You say, preacher, how would the inner man be strengthened? How can I have strength in the inner man? You'll only do it by the Holy Ghost. When that Holy Ghost strengthens that inner man, I want you to know you'll be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. I say to you this afternoon that it's by we must pray for that strength, and we must pray for one another. Now, Brother Dave, I want you to know, hey, for about 2 years now, every Sunday night, I want you to know the Carpenters for Christ and the Builders on Mission has been prayed for. We gather around this building every Sunday night and we lift up y'all's name and we pray for y'all and ask God to bless y'all and help y'all, give y'all strength, give you the motivation to keep going on. And you say, preacher, why do you do that? Because the enemy is real. Amen. I see tonight we pray for strength. The inner man must be strengthened by the Holy Ghost. Hey, can I say to you tonight that that strength is available tonight for whoever wants it. It's available tonight. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9. I want to show you this in the Word of God. That strength is available tonight. You say, preacher, why is it available or how is it available? It's only available by the Holy Ghost tonight. Hey, God will send that Holy Ghost in your life and He'll strengthen you when you need strength. But when you think that you have it all together, my friend, I want you to know, you won't realize it comes from the Holy Ghost. But when I'm at my weakness and I'm at my wit's end and I don't know where to go and I don't know where to turn, that's when that sweet Holy Ghost will come right up beside me. It'll encourage me. It'll uplift me and give me what I need. You say, is it when I'm on the mountaintop? Most of the time it's when you're in the valley. He comes up beside you and He strengthens you. Amen. Look tonight at 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Here's what Paul said when he had a thorn in his flesh. He had a thorn in his flesh and he didn't know what to do. Here's what he said. And he said unto me in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and he said unto me, my grace. Whoa, glory God for that grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. He said, what you need, grace will take care of it. What you need, grace will always take care of it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I say to you not, when you pray for that strength and you're on your knees, that strength is available and it'll come your way. After we got out of here last Sunday night, and you know, I just tell you the truth, I don't sugarcoat nothing. After we got out of here last Sunday night, I went home, and I want you to know, man, I was under an attack like you've never seen in your life. Man, I got home and I kicked back and put on my old lazy shorts and got in the recliner and just laid on back. And I thought, if I can just get me a little rest, if I get me just a little bit of peace, if I just close my eyes and lay my head back, everything will be all right. And as I laid back in that recliner and I sat there and I took me a break and I tried to rest and try to grab a hold of something, I want you to know, as I went on and the evening went on, man, it got heavier and heavier. That old spirit of depression and that old spirit of anxiety. Am I talking to anybody? Hey, when you get depressed and anxiety gets on your life, hey, you'll think you're having a heart attack. You'll think you're dying. You'll think you don't know what's going on. And as I laid in that recliner and I laid back there, I said, it'll pass by morning. His mercies are new every morning. It'll pass eventually, Sister Brittany. Eventually it'll pass and it'll go on. I woke up that next morning about 7 o'clock and we had to go to Tupelo. And I woke up and I was ill as a hornet. I was mad, didn't want to talk to nobody, didn't want to see nobody. And my wife said, are you ready to go? And I want you to know, we got in that truck and we come over to the church. And I'm talking about, you must pray for strength, that God will strengthen you in your life and in your walk and everywhere you go. And as we come across them hills coming over here, she asked me a question. I popped back a little answer. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all do it. And she said, listen, I'm not putting up with that today. I'm not putting up with that all the way to Tupelo, Mississippi. I'm not putting up with that all the way over there. And as we got coming across some hills, I want you to know that spirit didn't break. It got worse. And as we poured up to the church, I want you to know it was on me thick. I'm talking about real thick. My attitude was bad. My walk was bad. It wasn't where it needed to be. And as we poured up, I said, God, something's got to break. Something's got to happen. I've got to have strength throughout this day. I've got to have what you can give me today. And as we loaded up, she said, you go on back home and let me and the kids go on to Tupelo and get the meat for the carpenters. Get what they need, the food that they've asked for. You go on home and you stay home. And I said, please don't make me go home. Please don't make me go back there. Don't isolate me out. Listen, this ain't funny. I said, don't isolate me. Don't put me over there by myself. I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to get to that dark place. I don't want to get there. Let me go with you. He said, preacher, what happened? I got in that truck. And as we got going down I-22, Brother Chad, and we crossed the river over there at Fulton, all of a sudden that heaviness and that depression and all of that on my life started breaking loose going across that river. Why? Because I had somebody praying for me. She got quiet and started praying all the way over there. He said, preacher, will it work? If you got something on your life, you get to pray and get somebody to pray with you. And I want you to know when you bow your knees, God will hear you. Amen. Man, that thing broke loose and it set me free. And I want you to know as we got over there, man, we got just talking and going through some things in our life. And I want you to know that the strength of God is available. It's available. All you got to do is call on Him. But I see it's not only available, but it's obtainable tonight. It's available and it's obtainable. You can obtain it tonight. You can get exactly what you need from the presence of God and His power when you bow your knees and call on His name. But here's what Satan don't want us to do. He doesn't want us to bow our knees. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to get to the throne room of grace. He doesn't want us to do that. Why? He wants us to be miserable. He wants us to live in that. He wants us to walk in that because when he does, our witness is not effective. You said, preacher, what does that mean? This week, the next 2 weeks, we're going to have the carpenters here. They're going to be amongst us. And there's going to be a lot going on. A lot of heat, a lot of tired, a lot of things go on. And if you're not prayed up, you'll be that weak link. Hey, carpenter, you may have come, but you'll be that weak link. You got to stay prayed up in the Holy Ghost. You got to stay prayed up. You got to stay prayed up in what God's called you to do and have that strength in your life. I said it's available, but let me show you what God always showed me here. He said, not only is it available, but it's attainable by prayer. Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, preacher, what does that mean? Man, we need to pray for one another. Man, if you've ever seen a time you need to pray for one another, lift one another up, it's the day we live in right now. Here's what he said. He said, for this I bow my knees. Number one, that he said I pray for strength. But number two, I want to show you this. Not only that the reason he bowed his knee and prayed was for strength, but he bowed his knee and prayed that he may be sensitive to the Spirit. Huh? Listen, I told Dave Tidwell this. And I'm going to use you, Brother David. You don't even know I talked about you, but I talked about you. I got over there and we started talking about good deacons and what we got in churches. And I said, I tell you what, I got a deacon, old Brother David Barnes. I said, old Brother David Barnes, he can have a come apart quicker than anybody. If the Lord is here, Sister Brittany, amen. I said, he can have a come apart quicker than anybody. I've seen him do it, but I said, he can stand with you when everything else is falling under. You stand on that book, he'll stand by you. Now, he may have a come apart, and he may have to come on now, Brother David. Come on, man. Let's talk about this. But listen to me. When it comes to that book, he's going to stand. And then we walked off from talking. Me and Brother Dave and Zane Miles, we walked off from praying. And I said, but wait a second. I got one more thing about Brother Dave. He's a thermometer in the church. And they looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, I can tell you when it's real and when it ain't real. If Brother David this morning in Sunday school, when he got up and started praying, he started quivering in his voice. You could hear the tears he was trying to hold back. Why? Because he's sensitive to the Spirit. He's sensitive to the Spirit. Tears don't flow down his face unless the Spirit's moving on him. Sensitive to the Spirit. Let me show you this in the text. Let me show you what I'm talking about in verse number 18. He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. To comprehend, that means to be sensitive to the Spirit. He said that you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height and to know the love of Christ. That you may pray for that strength and pray for that to be sensitive to the Spirit. When the Spirit moves you, the Spirit draws you and the Spirit's on you, that you be sensitive to that. When He wants you to pray and He wants you to bow your knees. You said, preacher, I'm not bowing my knees to nobody. You need to bow your knees to Jesus. Amen. You need to bow your knees to Jesus. Romans 15 and verse number 30. Turn with me there. I want to show you this. You need to bow that knee to Jesus and let Him move on your life tonight. Move on what you got going on. Move in your heart tonight. Move on your life tonight. That you bow your knees. He prayed for strength, but He also prayed to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. To be sensitive to that Spirit. For the love of the Spirit, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Man, He's that you may get there. Look what He says in Romans 15 and verse number 30. He said, I beseech you, or I beg you, or man, I want you to listen to this in a mighty way. He said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. He said, I beg you for the grace of God and for the love of the Spirit. Folks, tonight, can I say what we need in every local body church is the love of the Spirit. That the love of the Spirit would indwell us. For the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I see that we prayed for strength and He prayed to be sensitive to the Spirit. But also we pray that for the love of Jesus Christ is our power. That love in our life. John 14, 23, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode with him. He said, preacher, what does it mean to be sensitive to the Spirit? What does it mean to be sensitive to the Spirit? Can I say to you tonight, it's also our identity. It's our identity. The love of Jesus Christ is our identity that lives in our life. I wish I could tell you tonight that the Bible said that all men shall know you're my disciple if you love to preach. But He didn't say that. He said, all men will know you're my disciple if you love to pray. He didn't say that. He said, all men shall know you're my disciple if you have love one for another. Here it is. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. Adrian Rogers said that when he was a young preacher that he went down to Jacksonville, Florida and was going to preach. And said he got down there into a revival service and it was going great. And said he was real arrogant and real arrogant at that time in his life. He said, man, people was getting saved. A lot was going on, and it was happening. I'm talking about going on. They had it going on like chicken bone. You know what I'm talking about? Man, the Spirit was sitting down. He thought, man, I'm really preaching. I'm really doing something. And said he got done, and one of his friends said, I want to carry you to my grandmother's house. I want to carry you over there and let you see her. And said when he walked up to where his grandmother was, and they opened the door and walked in, said she was eat up with arthritis. Said her hands was all drawn up, her old knees, she barely could walk. She come up there all bent over and opened the door. And as they come in, Adrian Rogers said he sat down on that there in her house. And she said, Adrian, how's the revival going? How's things going? And said he just wired back a little bit. And he said, man, it's going good. People are getting saved. People rededicating their life. People getting on fire for God. Man, and God's just moving in a mighty way. And said that little old woman said this right here. She said, well, I believe every word you're saying because I've been on my knees praying for you. Adrian Rogers said he'd never been in a place like that in his life. Well, he thought it was all about him and he was doing good and he was doing this. And some little old lady had arthritis eat up with, bad to her knees, couldn't hardly move, was getting on her knees every night for him. I want to ask you right now, when's the last time you got on your knees for somebody else, not in your family? When's the last time you got on your knees and you said, God, I need you to move on this person. I need you to help this person. I need you to bless this person. I need you to do whatever you can do in this person's life. I need you to move on. When's the last time you prayed for somebody else? I'm not talking about gossip about them. Hello? I'm talking about praying. And I'm not talking about getting down for 30 seconds and getting up. I'm talking about getting on your knees before an almighty God, getting in your prayer closet. You said, preacher, I don't have a prayer closet. You need to get you one. You need to get you one that you can climb in. I'm talking about or crawl in, whatever you got to do. He said, get into the closet and close the door and he'll answer you. He said, preacher, do you really got one of them in your life? I want you to know sometimes my family think I'm crazy. Can I get an amen? Hey, my wife opened the door to the closet and I'll be in our closet literally praying. The lights turned off and in there praying, asking God to move on my knees before Almighty God, begging that He'd move on you and He'd move on me and move on everything that I touch and everywhere I go and everything, that people would be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, do you do that? I get on them knees. And you say, what good does it do? Now I can walk in this 20-year-old my daughter's bedroom, and on her wall she's got a list of people that needs to be saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus that she's praying for. And can I say to you this? If you get on that list, you're in trouble. Hello? You get on that list, you're in trouble. He said, preacher, you believe that much? I've dedicated my life to Him. I've gave my life to Him. Preacher, why do you bow your knees? I bow my knees, number one, that I may gather strength. I have no strength in my own power. I am the weakest, unfit preacher you've ever seen in your life. but by his strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So preacher, you believe that? I believe that 100%. I believe tonight somebody needs to know that. You're running on empty. And you need to be filled. And the only way you can be filled is on your knees before Almighty God. On your knees before Almighty God, begging him to give you strength. Can I say to you what? Let me just leave this right here before we go any further. In every Baptist church I know, or any church, a number one problem we've got is not being sensitive to the Spirit. Don't even know when he blows in and blows out. Brother, like the wind blows. They don't even know when he comes in and comes out. Worried about what we're going to eat when we get out. What we're going to do when we get out of church. Take no offense to that, golfers. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got everything planned afterwards. We come to get out instead of getting in. Can I say to you, I've come to get in, not get out. I know what it is to be on the outside looking in. I thank God now I'm on the inside. I thank God now that he's done a work in my life, that he's saturated my soul in the Holy Ghost. I thank God that he gives me strength. I thank God that I'm sensitive to that Spirit. When that Spirit says move, and that Spirit says go, and that Spirit says do, I do what he asked me to do, don't you? Sensitive to the Spirit. Sensitive to the Spirit. What will that do to your life, preacher? It'll change your whole walk with Jesus Christ. When you get sensitive to that Spirit. I've told this story to our folks all the time. Before I got locked up and went to jail, I had a four-wheeler one time of a man. It was a three-wheeler, a big red three-wheeler. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. The old man that had it, it got stole from my house while I was in jail. And it got gone, got out of there. It was gone. And when I got out, I didn't think nothing about it. I wiped it off. Could care less. Because I was lost. I was lost, had no concern. Didn't care what you thought or anybody else. I was lost. But I got born again in 2007. Had no pedigree, papaw, momaw, nobody lived for the Lord. In 2007, I got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And man, I'm telling you what, when I got saved, he washed my sin. He didn't roll them, he washed them. Amen? He ain't rolled nothing, he's washed it away. Revelation 1:5, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he washed my sin away, Brother Tony. But as he washed my sin away, he started bringing things to my mind that I'd wronged people. That I had done wrong and I need to make right. And that was one incident that he brought to my mind that I did wrong and I needed to do right. And I told him, I said, Lord, if I ever see that man, I will apologize and ask for forgiveness. And he said, can I trust you with that? I said, you can trust me. If I know I've wronged you, I'm going to ask forgiveness. I'm not too big not to say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not too big to say, hey, forgive me. I'm not too big for that. And one day down at Jackrabbit Slim's, I was going to get me a piece of chicken. All preachers like chicken, amen? If we could afford steak, we'd eat steak. Come on now, talk to me. It ain't all doom and gloom. And I walked in that place and I hit that door, and when I opened it up, the man was sitting back there with a group of men. And I opened that door up and I looked back, and as I got walking to that cooler and get me a piece of chicken, I said, oh no. Spirit said, there it is. There's your opportunity right there. You've been praying for strength and you want to be sensitive to the Spirit, here's your chance. I got up there and I paid. I went to go out of that store and the Spirit said, don't you open that door. Don't you open that door. He said, preacher, does the Holy Ghost really talk to you like that? He better be talking to you like that as well. You better have that kind of relationship that you know it's him talking and not your wife and not your husband or your kinfolk or your preacher, but it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wasn't nobody there and he was talking to me. He was talking to me. And I put my hands on that door and he said, don't you open that door. He said, you go and do what you told me you'd do. And I got walking back there, Brother Willie Midcalf. And I got walking where he was, and he was sitting back there, and there was men everywhere. And as I got walking back down, back there where he's at, he said, get on your knees before him. I said, Lord, don't do me this way. Don't do me this way. He said, get on your knees. I said, Lord, don't do me this way. And as I got walking back, that's the reason I bowed my knees. Huh? When's the last time you truly bowed your knees before God? I'm not talking about coming to altar and getting down 30 seconds, getting up, walking back. I'm talking about getting on your knees before Almighty God. I got to where he was at, and as I got walking back down through there, I just bowed on down. I just hung my head, and I said, Mr. Willie? He said, yeah. I said, man, I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, man, I've done you wrong. I've not done you right. I am so sorry that I've done you right. I said, man, I got born again, washing the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm not who I used to be. And he looked at me, he said, son, when I heard you got saved, I forgave you right then. He said, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. And he said, there's not nothing between us. I promise you all's good. I got up from there and I gave him a pocket cross. Wasn't long after that I seen that Piggly Wiggly had on a necklace around his neck, Brother Tony, a little old pocket cross. He wore that pocket cross everywhere. He didn't wear it on the inside, he wore it on the outside. Hello? Mr. Willie was a black man in the community. Huh? Brother Mike, huh? It don't matter your color. It don't matter. When God tells you to bow, you bow. You get down. Wasn't long after that, I got a phone call. His daughter said, Brother BJ, my daddy's passed. Will you come help with the funeral? And the Lord said, that's why I prepared you for this moment. He said, what if you'd have passed by and not have bowed your knee and asked for forgiveness? What would have happened then? You'd have stood at his funeral and what would have happened? What would it have been? I said, thank you. Whew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, what'd you tell him when you got to that funeral, preacher? I stood up and told what kind of man he was. How that he was done wrong, he was done sorry, but yet he chose to forgive. Can I say to you, there's another man who's been done sorry and been done wrong, but he's chose to forgive, and his name's Jesus. He's been done wrong. He's been done sorry. He's been spit on, crown of thorns put on his head, but he chose to forgive. Well, you know what he said? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, preacher, why do you bow your knees and pray? Number one, I bow and pray for strength. Number two, I bow and pray that I might be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Number three, I bow my head and pray that I can talk to the Son. To the Son of God, that's why I bow my head and pray. That I get to talk to the one that hung on Calvary's cross. When I bow my head and I pray to Jesus Christ. He hung, he bled, he died on the old rugged cross. You said, do you believe you talk to him? I believe I talk to him. I believe he's my high priest. I believe he's my intercessor. I believe that he's the one who takes everything I pray through the Holy Ghost straight to the Father. I have no access to the Father but through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not good enough. Never will be, but it's by his blood that I get to go right into the throne room of God. Let me show you this in verse number 20, I believe it is. And we'll be closing. Let me show you this in verse number 20. Not only do I do it for strength, not only do I do it that I might be sensitive, but I do it that I might be able to talk to the Son. Look what he said here in verse number 20. Now unto him that is able. Who did he talk to? He talked to him. He talked to Jesus. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye shall ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding, that's something special that'll blow your mind. Abundantly, he has plenty. He don't need my help or your help. He has plenty. Whoo, glory. Exceeding, it's something special. Abundantly, he has plenty. Above all, that's you and I can't fathom what God can do. You can't fathom what God can do in your life. And the amazing thing is he chooses to do it for us and through us. The amazing thing is that when you bow your knees and you pray, he gives you strength. He allows you to be sensitive to that Spirit because you've got a relationship with the Son Jesus. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In closing, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25, if you will. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25. So, preacher, what will he do for you? Man, I'll tell you what, he'll change your life. He'll change your life. Brother Brent, we can't fathom what he's done at this place. We can't fathom how he's built this, Brother David, Brother Kevin. We can't fathom what he's done. Brother Eric, we can't fathom what he's done at this place. I can't fathom how he'll fill this place up on a Sunday morning. I can't fathom how he would build something like this. You say, well, that's just a building. That ain't worth nothing. Hey, it cost him something. I can't fathom what he's putting out there. I can't fathom what he's doing. I don't know what the next step is going to be. I don't know what the next move is going to be. But I'm praying that he gives me strength. I'm praying he gives you strength. I'm praying that he lets me be sensitive to his Spirit. I don't want no hard heart. I don't want to be a hard-hearted preacher. I don't want to be a hard-hearted Christian. I don't want to be a hard-hearted husband, hard-hearted daddy. I want to be soft-hearted and tendered, exceeding abundantly above all that you shall ask or think. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 7:24, the Bible says, 25, he says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. What does he do? He makes intercession for you and I. Before I close, I got one thing I want to show you. Something that's very dear to my heart. I got this Bible. It says Reverend B.J. Mills, Carpenters for Christ. I got this Bible in 2018. And I can tell you numerous times that God's laid on my heart somebody to pray for. Somebody that might be falling out of the ministry. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't have a clue. I don't know what's going on in nobody's life. I just know I'm sensitive to the Spirit, and He tells me to pray or tells me to do, and I do. That's what we do. And I take this Bible. I never read out of it. I got mine I read out of. I never understood why y'all gave me this Bible. I know you gave me the Bible because it's the Word. You want me to stand on it. You want me to preach. I understand all that. But I do it for another reason. On the inside of this Bible is written every name that was here in 2018. Every name that come through this building in 2018 that was with the carpenters, it was written. And there's been numerous times that I've took my camera on my phone, sitting in my office, praying for strength, and God said, that man needs it. Praying to be sensitive to the Spirit, and God says, that man, and I'm talking about the name be so big on here, magnifying glass wouldn't do no better than it could do. He said, what'd you do, preacher? I'd take my phone, I'd zoom in on that name, and I'd take a picture. I said, I don't know where you're at in life, but I want you to know I just talked to the Father for you through the blood of Jesus. I'm praying for you. Hope you have a blessed day. So, preacher, what does that do? I don't know what it does for him. I don't have a clue. But I know whose name's on it. I know who at one time in their life they was on fire for God. They drove many miles to come and help build. As I come tonight, I want you to know, carpenters, what you do is not in vain. Church, what you do is not in vain. Somebody notices what you're doing. Somebody understands. I look at this Bible tonight and I think about people like here. It says Dave Tibble, Richard Hazelwood, Sonia Scales, Eric Scales, Steve Turner, Don Campbell, Jim Randell. I just keep going. Donnie Klosterman. I just keep going down through here and just names all over this place. Royce Gately, John Patterson, Mark Powell. Man, I just keep going down through here. Bobby Arnold. And I don't necessarily know all these folks, but I know they writ their name down. And I know they need prayed for. Jim Marsh. Man, just keep going through this name. Jackie Gray. I just keep going through here of names of different people all the way through that just needs prayer when God says pray. And tonight, my heart is this to you, is that this next week or 2 weeks, ever how long you stay in church, ever how long they're here with us, that we bow our knees for one another. That we bow our knees for one another. And we say, strengthen them. Strengthen that army. They need it. He said, preacher, how do you know? Man, I could get on a set of posto diggers and get out there and dig for 10 hours a day, 365 days, not be as tired as sometime as I am in the ministry. Now, I've told you the truth. When you're toting the cross the way you should, if any man will come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. If you're toting the cross, it's heavy. If you're toting the cross for Jesus and doing any ministry or any witnessing or any soul winning, he who winneth souls is wise. If you're doing any of that, it's heavy. If you've got any part in this church, it's heavy. And it ain't going to get lighter, it's going to get heavier. Preacher, what I need to do, I need to be on my knees before Almighty God praying for strength. I need to be on my knees praying that I be sensitive to the Spirit. And I'll be on my knees talking to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Brother Charles is back in the room with us. Man, what a blessing that is. I'd never asked Brother Charles, did he ever pray in public? I didn't know. I've known him. He went to school. He was younger than me, played ball. Great man. Got saved, man, loving the Lord. Never asked him, did he pray in public? One Sunday night, Brother Dave, we circled around this place to pray for y'all, the building, and everything that the Lord's doing. And Brother Charles and his wife, Sister Nicole, were standing right under that light back there. Right back there in the back. And I said, I've never asked you this before, but hey, might as well now. Do you pray out loud in public? He said, I do tonight. Talking about throw it on the bus. But it was a spirit move. Spirit move. Listen to me, y'all. It was a spirit move. That man prayed heaven down right under that light. Prayed God would protect, bless, help each body in this room. Next morning, about 11:31, he had a heart attack. Everybody in this room could run wide open to Jack's from where you're staying. He was in Jack's parking lot having a heart attack. They told his wife, didn't know, we don't know if he's going to make it or not. We don't have a clue if he's going to make it. And if he does, we don't know what he's going to be. You know what we did? We bowed our knees. When the doctor said, I don't know. And they're just practicing medicine. Jesus don't practice nothing. He's not in the practicing business. He's not in the practicing. He's in the healing business. He said, preacher, what'd you do? Did you worry? Did you fret? Man, we got on our knees before Almighty God as a church. We got on our knees and we got to pray and asking God to move. Asking God to help. Man, they'd pull around that hospital 100 times, seemed like. They'd pull over here and work on him. Pull over there and work on him. Pull back and work on him. Never would take him out of the ambulance. Wouldn't let nobody hardly in to see him. They just back and forth. He said, preacher, what does that do? More prayer, more faith, more pleading in the throne room. We prayed for strength. We pray that spirit be sensitive. And we talked to the Father. He said, preacher, what happened? There's your proof. There's your proof. Tonight I want to ask you this question. Do you got proof in your life that God's answering your prayers? Do you got proof tonight that he's answering your prayers? I thank God I got a Savior I got proof. All over this room tonight, I can tell you we serve a living God. If you're in here tonight and you say, preacher, I just need to bow my knees. I need to get an altar. That's what we've come here tonight for. Is get on our knees before an Almighty God and pray for strength. Pray to be sensitive to that spirit. And pray to his son, Jesus. I'm going to ask if our ladies and our men would come.